Delighted to welcome Lana Del Rey. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I don't think I've ever noticed in your videos before the gold tooth. is that a recent addition? Have you chipped it? What's gone on there?
It's a recent addition, yeah. Just keeping it real just for a little bit.
Are you dentally good, though?
Yeah, Americans all good. All good.
Yes.
The Brits are, too. I don't know what they're talking
it's
about.
It's a terrible stereotype.
Oh, it's stupid.
Yeah, although...
I know all about that.
So you first came to my attention last summer when I saw videos of a couple of songs online. And from seeing those videos, the image I had of you in my imagination was this kind of like bohemian girl who was perhaps like a bit jaded with life, who probably lives in a small, quite cluttered apartment full of like bric-a-brac and knick-knacks. And you spend your spare time going to garage sales and buying up old cine film and then splicing it together by night. How close is that to the truth?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that. I feel like that vision is like you're talking about the same girl, except I just don't really go to garage sales or anything like that. And I'm usually hunting for my film on YouTube.
Right.
But I don't know. It's halfway there.
Okay. There's a nugget of truth in it. And so you don't go to garage sales. What do you spend your money on? What are you, a thing person?
What do I spend my money on? I don't really spend my money on anything. I just...
You're thrifty.
I'm thrifty, yeah. I hate to spend my money.
But you're not somebody who puts a lot of sentimental value on things? Are you more of an experienced person?
Not really. I mean, you know, like, if I have a lot of money, like, I'll buy something, like, really beautiful, like, maybe with little diamonds in it. I bought this little ring.
Sparkly things.
But other than that, like, I spend money on, you know, like, it's actually expensive to get some of those films cleared, like, for video games and things like that. So I like to put my money back into the music, usually.
And are you from a film background or a music background?
Music.
So you didn't, like, study film? That's just an interest you came into yourself?
Yeah, I didn't study it. It just became sort of, I was, like, a writer first and then a singer and then kind of came into editing later. But it's something I ended up feeling just as passionate about as singing, so I
sort of
really
marriage
liked
of
it.
The pictures and the yeah. and the voice and mm-hmm. Like so quickly in terms of having a record. I don't know how quickly it is in terms of what's been going on with you in your life, but certainly so quickly in terms of having released a record, it's gone very massive. It's this huge level of success, and then there's been this kind of unprecedented, very modern kind of snipey backlash. Has that tainted it for you? Do you feel like you've got everything you wanted on one hand, but has it been tainted?
I don't know if it's been tainted. It's definitely been different from what I expected. But, you know, because I had a lot of time to think about the record and what I wanted, because, you know, I've been writing it since last year, so I sort of finished writing the record before anything was really happening. And so, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think it's tainted it, but I couldn't have really imagined it like this, I guess I'd say.
I see. It must be a weird thing to imagine success is people are hearing your music and you're out playing shows and people are liking it. I don't imagine that some sniping on a hipster blog or on a broadsheet review is part of that, though. Are you quite bulletproof to that criticism, do you think?
I don't know, you know. I don't think about it too much only because, you know, I've been living in New York for about 7 years, and a lot of the people that I started singing with don't sing anymore, don't write anymore. So the fact that I can still do that, like come here, play shows, sing and write, you know, that's kind of a gift. That's kind of what I sort of stay focused on. Like, I keep writing. When I went back to New York and California the last 2 weeks, I got to go back into the studio and keep working. So I find that when I'm working, it's easier to just sink into that.
Are you bad with downtime then?
No, I actually really like downtime, but I haven't had too much of it lately.
Well, it's probably a while before you get any as well.
We'll see.
Lana Del Rey then, the sort of name or the persona, is it you, is it a person, is it a part you're playing?
Definitely very much me. I just really wanted a name that was as beautiful as I thought the music was going to be.
Where did you find, where did the name come from?
Well, I was going with my sister a lot to Miami. We were spending time with our friends from Cuba, and I wanted something that sort of sounded like faded seaside glamour, and
yeah,
that was
yeah.
something that sounded beautiful, but sonically, I just liked the way it sort of rolled off the tip of the tongue, so...
Did you have a long list, or was that the only ever option?
I had a very short list.
What else was on the list?
I don't know. I wouldn't tell you. I'm sure I wouldn't tell you.
A question I wanted to ask you is, has the real Nancy Sinatra been in touch? After having described yourself as a gangster Nancy Sinatra.
No, she hasn't, no. But, you know, I mean, like, again, that was something I just put on my YouTube page, like, for fun. And then as soon as the song sort of got more attention, like, people had grabbed that phrase off of my YouTube and started recycling it before I could even get a hold on it.
Well, that's the weirdest thing. You can use phrases like that in bios on Twitter or YouTube for years and nobody notices them. But the second that spotlight is on you, everything is hyper scrutinized.
I know. That was a real classy decision. It
was great. It's a question. What music is dearest to you? In fact, if you were being euthanized, what would be on the CD mixtape for you to die to?
Well, I did have another answer for you, but since you put it that way, I'd probably die to Jeff Buckley. I guess there probably wouldn't be any other way. Good music.
It's a good way to go out, yeah.
Good music to die to. Send me on my way to heaven. Heavenly voice, heavenly tunes. But I have a couple records that are sort of near and dear to me. I really like Nirvana. I really like Bob Dylan. And I like Frank Sinatra's voice.
Are you scared of death?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think about your own death?
I used to think about it.
Did you see, like, natural causes at an old age, or a tragic starlet robbed of life?
No, I don't know what I thought. I just knew that it scared me. God, I don't know.
Because they say there's two types of people. They say there's people who fantasize about their own weddings and people who fantasize about their own funerals.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, do you feel you fall into either of those categories?
Yeah, I'm a modern-day woman. I think I fall into both of them. I fantasize about both of them.
Would you like a happy funeral or people really sort of gnashing their teeth and wailing and outpouring grief?
That's a good question.
The same goes for a wedding.
Hopefully just the family would be there. God, I don't know.
Yeah. Can you pinpoint a moment in your life where you feel that was the moment, be it 1 second, 10 minutes, whatever, that you felt your most content and happiest?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really every day. I mean, I really can't explain it to you. I'm really so grateful just to be alive and healthy every single day.
That strikes me as odd from you, given that the films you use have such a strong sense of nostalgia to them. I would expect you to be nostalgic of a summer, or, you know, a boat journey, or, you know, like there's something that you would romanticize.
I am,
in that way.
But I think I see everything in pictures. Like when I think back to the way that things were, they're very vivid to me. Like, and I do, when I kind of write, I sort of write back to the picture that I can remember. But, I mean, a lot of the things that people said they thought were sad, I actually thought were happy. And, like, you know, when I wrote Video Games, I mean, to me, it was a real love song. It was actually about sort of a happy time. But I think because the melody is sort of sullen.
Did you, when you came up with that melody, which we heard just before, you know, that lift in the chorus, I know you like the bad girls, you know, did you know you were onto something there? Because it's something almost like military, like a military band or a last post or something about it.
I personally thought that I was onto something. I mean, not onto something, but, I mean, in terms of writing a melody that I thought described me perfectly, you know, like that I thought was gorgeous and didn't compromise, I definitely thought that song did that. But it was, you know, a quiet 5 minute, 30 second love ballad with no instruments, so that sentiment wasn't necessarily, you know.
And do you feel like the girl in that song still?
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like the same person wherever I go, sort of. But, you know, she wasn't sad, you know, like.
It doesn't seem like that. It seems like something that I called, like, it might be a Bukowski thing, but slug love, you know, where you're just kind of happy to lie around with or on someone and slob out. And
yeah, I mean, I really enjoy, you know, I'm just, it's nice to be in love, yeah, so.
And what do you want?
I have everything I want.
But okay, what do you hope for? What do you strive for? What is an ambition?
I really can't think of any.
I would never leave the house if I felt like that.
I don't want to leave the house. I'm happy at home. I really am. I am.
Lana, thank you so much for talking to us. Best of luck with the album Born to Die.
Thank you. I appreciate it.